I want to start out Vice, come on. I want to start out the shiur today. Baruch Hashem, dedicating the shiur with a tefillah for Refuah Shleima for a member of the shiur that was here last week, and after the shiur was diagnosed with something frightful, Hashem Yirachem, as tomorrow morning is going through a very serious operation. Most of the Elam probably knows. So I'm going to say Avisha Berach for a chayla, not for the schus of saying Tillim or of davening, but the schus of our Limud HaTorah. Misha Berach Avastin Avraham, Yitzhak Yaakov, Moshe Aaron, Shlomo, Yurape, Baruch Yurape, Azachayla, Yecheskel, Shragi, Ben Chana, Sima. Bavash Atzibur, Lomdim Bavurai, Skarzai Kodesh Baruch, Yumali Rachim, Olav, Lachlim, Larapos, Lachzik, Lach, Yosef, Ishla, Rufush, Maher, Rufush, Lima, Shmaim, Lermachi, Borlash, Asa, Gidav, Everyone hopefully has now the single handout sheet with the Rambam and the Gemara Bava Metzia. It might be a little bit backwards, but I want to start from the back side of the sheet, the Rambam. This is the first, I guess, shiur on the actual halachas. Last week was a general introduction to the whole concept of Erlokite and Halacha. The Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, which is on the Rambam side, with the front or the back, whatever you want, of this piece of paper, says as follows. Hanosim v'nosim medvarim bilvad. If a person conducts business by word of mouth, without a formal contract, without a ma'is or kinyan that's binding legally, halachically, he should keep what he says and stand behind his word. Even if he hasn't actually gotten paid, which cash payment by karkas is a final binding kinyan, and by metaltalin is not that level, but it still is a higher level expectation to keep and a curse of a mishapara. When one doesn't do it, but if he has no payment at all, he just makes a deal and he says, okay, we negotiate at a price, okay, I'll deliver it tomorrow, you'll pay me a COD, and then he wants it back out, even though he didn't pay, didn't sign, didn't make a kinyan, b'lo rosham, b'lo haniach mashkein, sometimes making a rosham is a situmta, is a minig aseichem to make a kinyan, he didn't do any of that. But still, if it just, even though it's just diburim, it's roi lamo lebe diburai. If either one that backs out of their commitment, whether the buyer, whether the seller, even though it's not enforceable, it's not even on the level that we could give that type of a curse to a person that backs out, that person is lacking in his integrity, and the chamim are very displeased, have no pleasure from such a person. That's a lacha ches. A lacha tesk is a continuation of the same. An application not to a case of a commitment to buy or to sell, but rather to even give away a gift. If a person says to his friend, I'll give you something, I have something extra here, I'm happy to give it to you, I'll give it to you tomorrow. And then he backs out, he doesn't give it. That's also lacking in integrity. Because you said something, you should keep it. B'medvar amurim, however, that's qualified. When does that apply? B'matanamu etes. When it's a minimal, not a very expensive, relative to the person's position in life and situation and what he could afford. For him, it's a minimal thing. For an Aisher, it's different than for an Ani. But relative to his thing, it's not a very big deal. So then, in that kind of case, you should stand behind what you said, even in commitment just to give a gift. Because the recipient already is some chadaitai. He already relies on and counts on it. He goes home and tells his wife, guess what? My friend told me he's going to give us this, which is a thing we need all the time. He's going to give it to us. He has an extra one. So they're already expecting it. They're already, it's a holiday. They're already happy with that. And then you're going to pull out. And you're not going to give it to him. You're going to disappoint and you're going to let him down. It's not right. But that's only by matana mu'etes, but something minimal, where you'd say the guy, some chadaita, the receiver, has a reliance that he can count. I'm sure he'll give it to me. It's not such a big deal anyway. Ava matana maruba, but if it's something very significant, ein b'chisar namana, then there's no lack of erlichkeit by backing out and retracting and saying, I'm sorry, I changed my mind. I thought it back over again. I want to do something else with it. Why? Why is it okay to back out then? Because the recipient never really counted as being like something in his pocket already. Until it's a deal is not a deal. Something like that, he knows, is a pie in the sky, just a dream, a hope. It's not something he can really count on.
Could you explain how that fits in the pasuk? Because you use the pasuk.
What pasuk?
You said last week.
We'll get to the sukkah very soon. Rambam doesn't say any sukkah. Okay, the Rambam will tell us everything. The more we'll develop it, we'll get there. Okay, at this point, the Rambam is not saying any psukim. Rambam is laying down a law, halacha and hilchas mechira. This is not Derbi Musar. This is a halacha in passing. I wrote on the top line verbatim the same words of the Rambam appear in Chayshe Mishpat over there in that reference of Siman Reish Dalet Siv Zayin and Ches. This becomes a din in Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch that both by the case of a matana mu'etes, a minimal gift, as well as by a case of a buying and selling, that there's a commitment, you have to stand behind it. Let me elaborate for a moment on that. Let's say I'm going to sell you my house. Well, we negotiate a price. I'm going to sell it to you for, $175,000. Okay, so that's a lot of money, right? Well, for a house, that's what a house is. And then I have someone else that comes along and says, I'll offer you $185,000, another $5,000, $10,000. Well, you have to take it in context of this deal. If it's $5,000 on buying a car, another $5,000, that's a huge amount. But $5,000 on a $200,000 purchase, it's a couple percent. So there's a relative assessment of how much that difference that is. When I have my house on the market for some period of time, I know that there's going to be different buyers or different agents that have come along, different offers. And I know that at any point when I say okay to one person that gives me offer, that I'm turning away the possibility that maybe tomorrow something else will come out better. Something with the shidduchim also, by the way. But at a certain point I have to say, you know what? Enough is enough. I've been waiting along. I want to make the sale already. Fine. I'm going to sell it to you. At the price you offer me, $135, it's yours. Now, we haven't made a kenyan. We haven't signed a contract. Got me a contract over here. Contingencies. We'll talk about all the details of it. But I'm right now committing to you. I'm going to sell it to you rather than hanging out and waiting for another person to come. Maybe someone's going to come and give me $177, $180. You know, I'm done playing that game. I'm ready to settle to accept it by you. The difference between that is then a marginal difference. I'm not giving away my house. I'm selling it for a good value. Well, maybe I could get something more. I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to make up. I'm going to sell it to you. Same thing as I'm going to hire you or be hired. Is, let's say, I know I could always keep looking on the classifieds. Maybe I'll get a more qualified applicant, a better kind of a resume. But at a certain point, I say, you know, I have to fill this position. It's yours. Now, we haven't actually contracted. We haven't started work. And that's really where the commitment starts when you're the haskalah simulacha. But when I told you, you could have the job, and you go home and tell your wife, Baruch Hashem, finally landed a job after being unemployed for so long, that's a very big thing. And the difference between that and, well, maybe I'll get someone tomorrow that's a tweak better, it's a matana mu'etes. That's a marginal difference on the basic, I do have the skills, I do have the ability, the aptitude, the training, whatever is required for me to do this job well. Well, maybe someone will be a little bit different. That's 180 instead of 175. That's the first halacha, halacha ches. Halacha tes is when there's no compensation. It's not a purchase, it's not a hire, it's not work, it's just a gift. So there we have to say, if it's a small thing, fine. What's a small thing? Relative to the person. But if it's a small thing, okay, I'm sure he could give it to me. He said so, why should he back out? It's not a big deal. If it's something very big, then we'll, when we, when we'll, When seeing is believing, when it happens, then we'll know. Until then, it's just somebody to daven for.
But what happens if somebody comes and offers you $250,000 for $175,000?
That's part of the market that might always happen. Someone from Muncie is going to come down to Baltimore and offer me Muncie prices, right? That happens every now and then. And that's what I've made up my mind. I'm done waiting for the Muncie people to come, and I'm going to sell it to you for the $175,000 and not wait for that guy to come. Unless there's a change of circumstances, we're going to get to that Bezer Shem. Unless there's something that's unexpected that never normally happens, and then that's a different story. We'll get to that Bezer Shem step by step. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, which, as we mentioned, is the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch also in Hilchos Mechira Memkar. The Sma, by the way, bring this down. The Sma, the Shachar, the Tumah of Main, Mefarshim on the Chayshim Mishpah and Shulchan Aruch. The Sma and Simon Shin Lam and Gimel, which is the beginning of Hilchos Schiras Pailim, about engagement of employees, says that the same thing applies, as we mentioned already, to work situations of hiring an employee. That when you're committing to hire someone, give him the job, whatever kind of a job it might be, that same halacha that we just now read applies. Here the Rambam lays this down as being a din that Shavuot Chol Nefesh, all of Klal Yisrael are obligated in the halachas of the Torah Shavuot Ksav Torah Shavuot Peh. Rambam Hilchos Deyos, the second citation on this back of the page, is the Rambam Hilchos Deyos. The Rambam Hilchos Deyos, I gave over here on the printout, Halacha Yud Gimel, which is the final halacha of that perek. Just for back up for a second outside, just to tell you what it says over here. The Rambam in Perek Hei of Hilchos Deyos has an entire perek dedicated to proper behavior of a Talmud Chacham. Perek Beis in Hilchos Deyos, he has generally, for everyone, how a person is supposed to act with proper midos and behavior between people. The Perek Hei dedicates an entire perek, a lengthy perek, to the uniqueness of the behavior expected from a Talmud Chacham. Let me just read you the opening line of the Rambam. Rambam, the beginning of Perek Hei, this is not on your sheet, so this you have to learn Torah Shavuot Peh. Sorry. G'shem she'hachacham niker b'chachmaso u'b'deyaisav. Just as a chacham is singular and outstanding in his knowledge and his deos, in that which he has developed in his own character traits, his midos, as we would call them, and that separates him and sets him apart and higher than the ordinary rest of the people. Likewise, he has to be discernibly, noticeably different in his whole conduct. B'masav, in how he acts, b'machalo mashkeu, in how he eats and drinks. He doesn't sit and fret and indulge as an ordinary person does. How he relates with his wife, Basiyas Trachav, how he does his physical needs, the basic kisei, Budiburo, how he speaks, Ubihiluko, Pashit, physically how he walks, Ubumalbusho, how he dresses, Bukilku Dvarov, how he manages his affairs, Maso Matano, and his business affairs. Bukol Hamaisam Elu Noyam Musukonim Begeser. In all these aspects, he has to be exemplary, has to be with nobility and erlichkeit. And the entire parak, then he goes, each of these phrases that he just mentioned, and he devotes basically a halacha to each one of these subjects in which the Talmud Chacham is unique and special. The final halacha is what I gave you in the back of the sheet over here, is halacha Yud Gimel. Maso ma'atano shel Talmud Chacham, the business conduct, the affairs of a Talmud Chacham, are done be'emes u'be'emunah, with truth and with faithfulness. With truth, whatever he says is a true representation of the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Not trying to hide, not trying to shine it up to make it look newer than it is, and to cover over, some kind of a problem that it might have. U'be'emunah, and with the faithfulness that you can trust what he says, that he'll do something, he does it. Oimra alav lav v'al hein hein. On something that's no, he says no, then his no is a no, and he won't do it. While Hain Hain, when he says yes, it's a yes, and you count on it that he will do it. But Dr. Galatzmo Bechezbein, he knows in Bavacha Liacherim, himself when he takes, he doesn't want to take a penny extra. Giving keep the change. He doesn't worry about it. Let them have extra gezunta hate. Those in the Bay of Mecca, the altar, he pays immediately, not on credit. He doesn't get himself mixed into affairs that are not his responsibility. There's a big problem when people sign on Arvus on a guarantee that they can't guarantee, and afterwards they have to come around. It's very sad. Tamachom doesn't do that. Mechayev atzmo b'divri mechel b'mekar. He holds himself responsible and liable, even when maybe the letter of law would not hold him so. U'mok mishlo chiva zoteira. Kedei sheyama b'diburo b'lo yishaneyo. In order that he will stand behind his word and never back off and change what he said. B'mneschayev lo acherim b'din ma'arachu ma'ichal lehem u'mavol lehen. Other people, if they don't meet their obligations, fine, it's okay, he's more forgiving. He lends money and he's considerate with them about collecting. He doesn't compete with the merchant, we'll talk about that separately. He'll be able to go through his life without ever troubling and bothering, making tzar for another yid in his life. One of the Gedolei Yisrael. I don't remember, was it Chazonish or Shlomo Zalman, said that that's like the ideal of life. What I would want is I should have to live 70, 80 years and never be Mitzayer Nechayit. Lo Yetzer Lo Adam Lo Elam B'chayev. I don't remember any other quotation. Klalo Shal Dovah, the Rabbim sums it up. You min anir dofim, lo min raifim. Let's other people take advantage, but he never takes advantage of others. Min anir lovim, lo min ovim. Even when he's shamed, he doesn't shame others. But Adam Sh'oseh Kol Ma'isim Ha'elu. In this whole parakeet, he lives up to this kind of a higher standard of behavior. All of because of the Pasuk says on him. Says, "Oh, that's my loyal servant, Yisrael. Asher b'choy aspoyer, with you, I take glory and honor."
Where is that Pasuk from?
Yeshaya, I believe. This is magnificent words of the Rambam. But the problem is that the Rambam is putting this over here in terms of the proper hanhaga for a Talmud Chacham, which means that it's not the standard halacha for all of Klal Yisrael. These are the exemplary special ways of the Chacham. And over here he's saying that you have to do alav, lav, al, hein, hein, and you have to be omen b'diburo v'lo yishanehu, which seems to be the same basic concept as I said beforehand in the previous halachas Hilchos Mechira, where that he said as a rule for Klal Yisrael, as a din, as kapasim and shulchan aruch. So Minchas Chinuch in the end of mitzvah, Reish Nun Tes, ask this as a problem in the Rambam, like how do we reconcile these two together? So that's my introduction to tonight's shiur. And Be'ez Hashem, we're going to learn a little bit of the sugya on the Gemara side of this page. And by the time we do so, Be'ez Hashem, everything's going to fall nicely into place. Yes?
It sounds like the Rambam is telling you you should be okay with people taking advantage of you and be like a sucker.
You have to know where to apply that. There are things that I can't overlook and forgive, and there's things that I can. If it's a matter of a little bit of a change, you can keep the change. If it's a matter of not paying me for my work at all, so what am I supposed to live on, right? So the right balance, how to put into perspective. And if you don't pay me, so I could go over to you like a bench and ask you, I really need to get paid. How can we work this out? Or I could do another like a bench and close a broken. That's a different way of doing it. There's a way of doing it. Of course, you have to be responsible. You have responsibilities, and you have to meet them. But there's a person that's what his life is all about, and there's a person that's what's a necessity that I have to take care of. But he has really a higher life that he lives to. So this is the question that we right now want to get a handle on. Where is the halacha? Where is the ikar ha-din? And where is the talmud chachamness? Something that's a midas chasidus, something that goes beyond. What's the balance and what is the criteria, the definition of each of these two? Yes, sir.
I mean, maybe the pasha chelik that the Rambam says, matana meruba, but for a small matana, it didn't apply to everybody else, and for a talmud chacham, even a small.
Even matana meruba, you mean?
Yeah.
Even matana meruba. That is a chiddush. We'll have to build it from the sugya, but it is a mahalach. We're going to get there. Forgive me your name?
Tzvi,
thank you. Okay, we'll get back to what Tzvi said. Take a look at our Baisai on the Gemara Sheet. The Gemara is a sugi in Bamatsiya Memtes. This is the sugi in Shas about the concept of Mechusar Amana. the Gemara starts at the end of the thin lines with a story with Rav Kahana. Yawul Zuzi, they gave him some money to purchase from him a kistna on some flax or flax seeds. The sof anchor kistna went up in price. What they gave him originally was only a partial payment. Let's say he had $1,000 worth of this material, and they gave him $100. So there was a partial payment for this. Also, Kami Derav, now that the price went up, and now instead of being worth $1,000, it's worth, you know, $1,300. So to give it away all for $1,000 right now is not worthwhile. But they paid him, but they only paid him a partial payment. So he came before his Rebbe Rav, Amarle, and Rav told him, but my Nikita Zuzi, in the amount that you have money, Habole, which would be proportionate to the original purchase, which means that if you gave him $100 out of the original price being worth $1,000, then you at that point deserve 1/10 of the material. So give him 1/10 of the material at yesterday's price. The idach and the remainder of that to give the whole rest of it away at only $100 for each 1/10 or $1,000 for the total. Devaram ninu, it was only a verbal commitment. The rest of it was not paid for. There was no Mashicha, there was no Maizakinya, there was no act of acquisition. With Dvarim Emeshem Mukhsori Amana, and on that basis, you're not required to stand behind it. You're allowed to back out of it. Backing out over here is in a case where there's a reason to back out, because that's not no longer the fair market value. It's now changed in price. Raji says, no, not over here yet.
I don't understand. Why don't we say that the $100 that he paid was like a payment, and he owes the rest, but it's really all his stuff.
Okay, so Rashi makes a point of saying, does he say it over here? That was not the case over here.
Fourth line.
Devarim ninhu below mos, rabba tamay di umr, kinegda hu kaina. This is going that you're only kind of on that amount. It's not like a down payment on a house. You pay 10% and the whole house is yours and the rest you're going to work out with a mortgage. This is only, I only have this amount right now, so I just pay you this much. That's all I acquire. The rest, you'll sell it to me. Yeah, don't worry, I'll sell it to you. There wasn't yet a purchase payment for the entirety of it. The previous Gemara, Daf Mem Ches on Beis, makes that kind of a distinction between two different cases of a partial payment. And that's over here seems to be the working assumption. So, in that kind of case where I paid for 10% of it at $100, at that point, that's what 10% was worth. So that's what I acquired. That's not a technical acquisition, but that's what you committed to. And once you make a commitment, stand behind it. But that's only what you got paid for. The rest of it is only Dvarim. And Dvarim ain't behem shemichol sorei mana. Second white line, Ditmar, where we have the underlines. Dvarim, when something's only a matter of a verbal commitment, Rav Amr Ein Behem Mishum Mechazori Amana. If there's a reason to back out, like over here, because of a change in market prices, then you're not required to stand behind it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yesh Behem Mishum Mechazori Amana. Rabbi Yochanan argues and says, we do. We do require you to stand behind it. And there's a rule in Shas, where it says Begin Beya, and we use it also all over, that Rabbi Yochanan Allah and Rabbi Yochanan. So we're going to pass like Rabbi Yochanan, that's going to be what the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch are going to go with. We have to know what the guys are talking about. Meisivei, the Gemara Basakash from Abraisa. Abraisa says, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Oimer, Ma Tam Olay, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, Hein Tzedek, Yelocha, Eifa Tzedek, Yelocha, the Pasuk mentions, and the Pasuk Yisei, a number of different types of measurements that all have to be honest weights and measures. Valo Hin, Bechlal Eifa Hoya. The Torah says, Hein Shechot Tzedek, and the Pasuk says that Eifa Tzedek, Yelocha. Rashi over here gives us the calculation that a hin is yud beis loig, and an eifa is 24 loig, and therefore, I'm sorry, a saw is 24 loig, and a eifa, which is 3 saw, is therefore 72 loigs. So a hin, which is 12 loig, is a fraction of an eifa, which is 72. So the Torah says that hin shalchot tzedek, then it says eifa tzedek, so what did Pasha have to say both of them for? Allah Mukhar to teach you another drasha. Sheyehei hein shulchot tzedek, v'lav shulchot tzedek. Hin, instead of being a liquid measure over here, is taken to be a hein, a yes, and a lav, a no. When you say yes, it should be a yes. When you say no, it should be a no. Stand behind what you say. And therefore, the Gemara is asking that we have over here a halachic, a drasha basis for Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. that Dvarim Yesh Ben Mishum Mechazorei Amana. So how could Rav tell Rav Kana that he's allowed to back out when it changed price? So my answer is, Amar Abaya, Hahu, that drasha of Hein Shulchan Tzedek, has a totally different application. Shlo Yadaber Echa Bepev Echa Belev. To teach you that you shouldn't, at the time that you say something, not mean it and say it in bad faith. And when I say, yeah, sure, I'll do it, it means, no, I won't do it. I'm just trying to get rid of you. Don't do that. When you say a yes, let it be a yes when you say it. When you say a no, let it be a no. Mean it when you say it. If later on circumstances change and the market fluctuates and things are different tomorrow, okay, that's a new day. But at least when you say it, mean it with a sincerity. That, a bad faith situation, is what the Torah is answering. But if I said something and I meant it fully, because at that time it was a fair deal, then I meant it. Later on things change, okay, it's a new situation, it's Dorosh HaBalayelam, that'll be different. And therefore from here we don't have a source of that. So over here we have Machlokes Rav Rabbi Yochanan, and we have this drasha of the Pasuk of Hein Shulchan Tzedek, with two possible interpretations. The one of that the Hein said it means that when you say something you have to keep it, because Dvarim Yesh Ben Mishum Mechazorei Amana. Or the alternative is to say, like Abai is explaining it to mean, the Echa Bepev, Echa Belev, and a lack of sincerity at the time that it said itself. If we pass on the Rabbi Yochanan, it would seem we don't need to come on to Abai's interpretation of Shlo Yadaber Echa Bepev, Echa Belev. We could remain with the original understanding that this pasuk of Hein Shulchan Tzedek means that there's a Yinu Mechazorei Amana. So the riff over here does something a little bit odd, which the Rush asks on. The riff of Pasuk of Rabbi Yochanan, and when he brings on the pasuk of Hein Shulchan Tzedek, he explains it as Abaya does. Now if you're Pasuk of Rabbi Yochanan, you should explain the pasuk like the Gemara originally had presented it. That's a teaching to Hein Shulchan Tzedek means that it shouldn't be Mechazorei Amana. Why does the riff bring Rabbi Yochanan l'halacha, and yet bring Abaya's interpretation of the pasuk? So the Rush explains that the Rif understood that although initially the Gemara understood that the pasuk of Hein Shulchan Tzedek means that when you say something you have to remain with that forever, regardless of later changes of circumstance, the Gemara falls off of that. Once we get to Abaya's interpretation, the Gemara accepts that to be the pshat, and that Echa Bepev Echa Belev is going to be the lacha according to everyone. Why does the Rif and the Rush understand that that's the maskanas of Gemara? So they go down to the further part of the Gemara, where the Gemara makes a difference between a matana mu'etes and a matana meruba. A matana mu'etes, you have to stand behind it. And I have it overlapped by part also on the line, because lo samcha daite by a matana meruba. Rabbi Yochanan himself says that o'imer l'chaveira matana ninosin l'cha yachol l'achzer bay, mutilo l'achzer bay, but motor Rabbi Yochanan, but matana mu'etes to samcha datayu. So there the Gemara goes on further and says that there will be a difference between a matana mu'etes and a matana meruba, a small, slight, insignificant, or a very expensive, major kind of a commitment, and the difference between whether it's samcha daite or not samcha daite. So the Rush says, if the reason that you have to stand behind it is because Hein Shulchan Tzedek, because if you say something, you have to keep it. So it doesn't matter whether the other guy's yes soy mechdas, not soy mechdas. It doesn't make a difference whether it's matana meruba, matana mu'etes. You said something, you have to keep your Hein Shulchan Tzedek. Why does Rabbi Yochanan later on qualify and say that you only have to stand behind your commitment to give it if it's a small thing the other guy counts on, and not if it's a big thing where he doesn't count on it? So as the Rush says, it must be the Maskanas of Gemara. We understand that the Yisoda over here is, as Abaya that says, Hein Shulchan Tzedek means that only shouldn't be Echa Bepev, Echa Belev, and not Hein Shulchan Tzedek. And not Mechazorei Amana. And the reason Rabbi Yochanan says that the Din of Mechazorei Amana is going to be because of the Samcha Daita kind of a Svara. Rashi, about three quarters way down the page, parallel to where the underlines end in the Gemara, brings Mishum Hachar Rishoy, it's going on another piece of Gemara about the Levi and the Makiri Kahuna, which I don't want to right now spend the time on. Rashi over there says, Sheyesh lo lismech hamasha kasev, the other person, when he gets a commitment to receive something over there in the case about committing to give a Levi or a Kain, the Trum or the Meiser, Yesh lo lismech, he can rely that you're going to keep your word and do what you said and give it to him. Does he rely on Mashukasov, the puzzle says in Treyasa and Sefer Tzfanya, that Sheiriz Yisrael lo yasu avla, lo yadabru chazov, lo yimtsu tarmes b'fiyam, at the end of the pasuk is. And I could count that you're not going to lie, you're not going to deceive, you're not going to back out, you're not going to be dishonest. You said something, I'm sure you're going to give it to me. And therefore, lo yidin alevi, ach, you're not going to give that maisa that you said you're going to give it to me to someone else. That's like a matan moetis. You have to give the maisa away anyway, right? I'm a levi, you're Israel. You have to give me the maisa to some levi, so me or the other one, it's a small difference to, well, you want to give it to your, you know, the one that your whatever preference there is. That's a slight difference. Either way, you have to give it away. They no, you won't give it away because that's the lo yasu avla. Why did Rashi over here skip to a pasuk in Sefanya instead of a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim and Parshat Kiseitze of Hein Shechot Tzedek? Because when the Gemara comes out at the end, that the idea over here is smichas das, a matter of reliance, being able to count on the other person that promised me something, I'm sure he's not going to let me down. Rashi after used a beautiful lashon. In the way of Tarumas, if I back out, I have a right to complain. I don't have any kinyan on it, but I have a complaint against you if you back out. Look at the beautiful words of Rashi, the end of the underlined Rashis. Ela Tarumos, Shehiv Tichai, that I promised and guaranteed to you, but Tocheles, with a hoping, Miachalim, but Tocheles Nichsava, with a disappointing promise. You let me down, you promise me something, you get my hopes up, and you burst my bubble. Right, and you let me down and you deflate me like that. That's hivtichay b'tochelas nechzava. You give me so much hope and reliance and happiness, and the next day you go and you let me down like that and disappoint me. That's a loyasu avla. That's an avla. It's an injustice. It's unrightness. It's not righteous to do. That's right now, Maskanas of Gemara, what's wrong over here. Not because it's a pasuk of Hein Shechot Tzedek. Because the Hein Shechot Tzedek, we talk, understand, like Abaye says, according to everyone, that's Shlo Yidab Echa Bepev Echa Balev. So sometimes that we could talk a fine, even in a Bezin situation, or sometimes just dealing amongst people, that person initially made the commitment in bad faith. He never really ever meant to go through with this. And you can start bringing all kinds of indications to that. That's Echa Bepev Echa Balev, and that you really have to come down very hard on. That's totally unacceptable. That could be a deraisa of Hein Shechot Tzedek. But when a person said something and he meant it with all of his mind, and then later on there was a strange change of situation, then I was able to afford it. Now, the situation is not the same. I can't do it. Or over here, the price changed like that. So then when you have a shinui in the matzav, then there's no Hein Shechot Tzedek. The question is, there is a mechus ramana. Rav didn't hold there to be a mechus ramana in that case. It's understandable. You have a reason to change. There's no reason to change at all. Then Rav would also say it's wrong to do. It's like a midah stum. Like what you told me, there's no gain for you and there's loss for me. Like, why in the world would you do this to me? But when there is a reason to change, now go back to the first Rashi that's underlined. If at the time that you said in bad faith, you never meant to keep it, that's wrong. But if there was a change of situation, like a fluctuation, and now it's worth more than it was worth beforehand, that's what I want to back out. I'm still willing to sell it to you at today's going market price. But I should sell it to you under the market price. That's not reasonable to ask of me. I have a right to do business. I'm in business, not for it. I have to do business to make profit and support my family. That's not a lack of honesty. Yesterday I was selling it at the fair price. Today I also willing to sell you at the fair price. That's no longer a fair price when the market factors changed. So here I have a reason to change. So then Rav says, Ainbo Mechus Ramana. Rav Yochanan is Mechadesh Avo Pikeng Yeshbo Mechus Ramana. Why? I have a good reason to change. Because you already gave him a commitment and he was already counting on it. He was already relying on it. Although there is a margin of a difference. But the basic thing was already a commitment. On that, we still say that you will chiyuv to stand behind it. So now we can come back to Rama. There is, by the way, a machlokes rishonim. Rashi, the way Rashi is setting up the sugya, and it's mashmos of the sugya from the story of Rukana, the story that the Gemara started with, is that the machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is when there is a change of circumstance, like a fluctuation of the market price. And that's when Rav says, okay, we understand why you want to back out. We can't blame you. And Rabbi Yochanan says, even so, when we're going to pass like Rabbi Yochanan, that that's still mechuzar mana, even though it's nishtana hashar, even though there is a change and a reason to back out, you still shouldn't. Top toes is on the page. Motor Rabbi Yochanan Tanu Muetes, by a marginal thing, a small commitment, you should still hold by it and not back out. Zoktosis, the Yoker Nami, the increase in price that now is worth more than it was worth yesterday, Havi Kamoma Tanu Muetes. It's a marginal difference, not the wholesale. The wholesale, but it's a little bit extra. Whatever usually doesn't go up in 30% in one day. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. So went up from 1,000 to 1,050, 1,075. It's a matan muatas. So that's what Tos learning also, that even though there is a yoker to be calculated, you still shouldn't back out. That's still a getter of a matan muatas. And that's the point of contention between Rav and Rabbi Yechidon. This is what Rav HaRishon and Paskin, that once we pass on the Rabbi Yechidon, then the din of Mechuzar Amana applies even when it is a Nishtana Hashar, even when there's a change of price. Because you realize that at the very beginning, when you started, you made a commitment, like we said before about selling a house. I know there's going to be someone else coming along, and I also like to know when I'm in business that prices fluctuate, right? Almost anything, today and tomorrow, whether it be eggs in a grocer, whether it be a house on a market, whether it be commodities, whether it be whatever you do business with, take a look, and they have the graph in the back of the Wall Street page, right? Right, there's everything is always going up and down. So that's part of doing business. You know it's going to fluctuate. And in that knowledge, in that context, you made a commitment, and you stayed there, all of a sudden it changed. Of course we know it. That's Maisim Chal Yayim. And you made a commitment. What would be Taka if something that's way out of the norm happens? Something just from left field, just something that's unprecedented? That would be a different story. I know there's a general fluctuation of few percent this way, that way, all of a sudden now 50% in one day. Like, just the market fell out completely, or just boom, you know, bull started running. Whatever, a total new kind of situation, right? Or I don't know, hire you to be my 8th grade Rebbe. And I know there's other chashuva people, the good experience for Bayam is going to be my chashuva, my 8th grade Rebbe and my cheder. And then now, I don't know, the Gadol Dor, the Rosh Shiva comes and says, I want to be for a year, I want to be an 8th grade Rebbe. Like, whoever heard of such a thing like that happen? The boys are going to go wild, right? So then, not take away a job if a person has, but right now if they're going to have the problems for the 8th grade Rebbe, the Rosh Shiva is probably, if it knows, of course, if he has, if you have something that just totally the Taz in Hilchos Mila in Siman Reish Samach Dal in Yoredeya says if a person his father his grandfather was not around for the first bris, and therefore he went over to his rav or to his rebbe or to someone asked him to be the sandik. Can you be the sandik for Rich Megan Bris tomorrow? Fine, thank you. The next morning, guess what? The Zayd is there. He flew in overnight. Shock, surprise. So he goes over to the Rebbe and says, you know, I said you could be the Sandik, right? But, so the Taz says, then about to give it to Zayda, because that was unheard of, that was unthought of, it was unanticipated. Something that just a total, like, from left field, something that's not expected, that I died to the Hachi on that kind of understanding, I never made that kind of commitment. So that becomes a criterion that we use. Jewish Chassam Sefer, Chosh Mishu Simikov Beis, has a case that a person selling because he needs a certain thing for business, and therefore he's raised the liquid cash and will be able to do some of the business. All of a sudden, while he's committing to sell things in order to raise that cash, his brother died and left over mamish a store full of exactly that. So now I no longer sell my stuff. So he said, that wasn't expected, that wasn't anticipated. All of a sudden he yarshined exactly what he needed, a certain kind of a keli for doing his malacha. So now I did, okay, I never made the commitment to start with. That's a chuvah, because I'm sorry for the same kind of thing. So that's a criteria we're going to use. Is this the normal flow of business, and therefore something we should expect, and Adai to the Hach, you made the commitment? Or was this a fluke, unexpected surprise, and therefore we could say, Adai to the Hach, you never made the commitment? Okay? So anyway, being Mikatsar over here, coming back to where we started. Rova Rishonim learned, like Rashi and like Taisus, like the Stimus, the Rambam, and the Mechaber, that by Matana Muetes, you have to stand behind it. And likewise in business, even though there's a fluctuation, it doesn't make a difference. The Yoker, the Lestosa says it, is a Matana Muetes, kind of a marginal difference, except for, shocking, different, unusual circumstances. And therefore, you have to stand behind it. There are some Rishonim that learn that by a once it's Nishtana Shara, then on that you don't have a smichas adas. Okay. So we have over here in the Sugya, we have a concept of Heinshecha Tzedek, which according to the way that the Rosh explains the Rif and the way Rashi's been doing it himself, is that at the end of the day, the reason that Rabbi Yochanan passes into Barmishation Mechusar Amana is not because of Heinshecha Tzedek, but rather it's because of it's a avla to give a to hefticha, but to chelas nuchzava to let a person down. That's very somach daitai. And we're speaking over here guidelines of when you have a legitimate smichas das and when it's a pipe dream and a pious guy and then something you don't have a smichas das.
Isn't smichas a das inside the makabel?
Yes. So with the makabel.
If something happens from the giver, the nicene.
Yeah, but he never made a commitment at that hachi, and the makabel knows that as well. If all of a sudden something unexpected, shocking is going to happen, that was never the understanding.
Does that make a difference whether we consider it the
Reis
or the
Rabban? There is a discussion we showed him on that. The Pashtus is, the way we're going to go with this is that's all the Rabbanan. We have to come on to a Pasuk in Sefanya rather than a Pasuk in Devarim. Doesn't seem to be a Dereisa. Minhag Chinuch wants to make it that this is a Pasuk Dereisa, but that's not the Pashtus. Now, this is Okmaskanasa Gemara. Aval Pikein, there is a concept of Hein Shecha Tzedek. Aval Pikein, in a Midas Chasidus at least, there would be a Midas Chasidus. What we have really over here is a completely different approach to this concept. The Mechusar Amana, because I don't want to disappoint or let down another person, is because you're already relying on it. The Makabah's already expecting it. He's already counting on it. And you're going to take it out from under him, pull the rug out from under him? That's being wrong to another person. Sherry's a certainly also avlo yidavro chazov. That's an avlo. That's an injustice. There's a completely different angle, and that is that me myself, not because I'm going to hurt you, that I should be an ish emes. I should stand behind my word. My word should be gold. I should be able to keep what I'm saying. Hein shechot tzedek is a statement about my own self. What I say is truth, and it's always going to be like that, unchanging, unwavering. That's the person himself. Maskanos and Gemara, we paskin that that's not a requirement. But Afal Kimpikin doesn't meet his chasidus like that. The Rishonim, Perishim, Rambam, and the Rosh, and the Rosh over there at the end of Shvias, the last mission, the end of Masechah Shvias, where the Mishnah over there says that a person Misham Adiburo, he doesn't pay after Shvias, or he goes bankrupt, he doesn't pay his chaybeis. It's Ein Ruach Chachom Neche Menu. We can speak about bankruptcy another time. Ein Ruach Chachom Neche Menu. So the Rishonim over there bring down that the Rishonim brings that Rav, the same Rav in Har Gemara that says, Ein Bei Mishum Chazor Mana, but Rav would have said, whatever I tell someone I'm going to give it to him, I always do, I never back out of my words. Because Rav was the quintessential Talmud Chacham. He was the Gadol of the Amoraim. And he, of course, represents what the Rambam is saying about in the Hills Deis. Now you go back to look at the two Rambams. The first Rambam never mentions Hein Shechot Tzedek. But rather, he talks about the smichas das of the other person. And you give a havtacha, it shouldn't be a tocheles nechzeves. You shouldn't even let him down. That's hilchos mechira, where you be mazik another person. That's mechach memkar. That's a shavuot chol nevesh. That's a halacha for all guys. So that's in shulchan aruch. But hilchos deyas, he's not talking about my commitment to someone else. That's about my own keeping my own word. Maso matonu shetam uchacham beemesu beemuna alav lav al hein hein. Well, he says something, he keeps it because of his own integrity, because of his own self, not because of hurting someone else. And therefore, like Rutzvi said, that even if it would be a matana maruba, even if it would be something that wouldn't be something to ask, if you said it, you do it. The Pritzadik, I'm going to have to finish now, Pritzadik is the child's Chuba Sefer from Bitzel Petterberg, Chelagal Simon and Aleph, has an arichas on this to show, based on the Yushami and a whole discussion amongst the Rishonim, to show that there's a midas chasidos of standing behind what you say, even by a matana maruba. He doesn't go on these ramas particularly, but once we have that, it fits in, like Ritzvi chapped already from the beginning, gorgeous, that the Rambam in Hills Mechira is talking of shavu l'chol nevesh and dafka matana muetes, or a slight fluctuation in market prices, we saw in Tosfos. The Rambam Hills Deos does make so such qualification, because not because the other person's michas dasen hurting him, but I myself have to stand behind my dibur, because I want to be emes v'emuna, I want to be alav lav hein 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 shechot tzedek, the yamon b'dibur v'lo yishanehu. That's the midot hamachal, that's the midot chasidus. There are many more particular halachas discussed on this merchant. We'll try to finish up next week. No. Except if it's given over to Bez and to Dan Lafiyat Tzedek V'yesh, or to make a pshara, it could be taken into consideration.